topic I have selected for my remarks is found in the first letter of Corinthians. I'd like to read it to you. And that is found in the third chapter, and I'd like to read from the ninth verse to verse 17. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And how true it is. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that it is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple, or the margin has, if any man destroy the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We find that Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter really are our authority for saying that the church, which is the body of Christ, is the temple of God. And this is what we base our facts on. And that his temple is holy. And God, who condemned the whole world at Adam and who has declared that he would have no fellowship with sinners, has provided a way by which these sinners can come back into harmony with him. In what way? Only through the arrangement which he had made. And that arrangement is in harmony with their Creator. And Apostle Paul points out here, the scriptures we had read, the foundation of this great antitypical temple. And this is the one we read in verse 11. Other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul also, Apostle Peter, tells us in 1 Peter 2:5 that ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are living stones. You and I are living stones. Let's keep that in mind. And we like to look on the type and the antitype. As we look for a few moments on Solomon's temple, Solomon's temple was a type. It was a figure of this greater temple which God is erecting. And we find that Solomon's temple had certain different points about it connected with its construction. And one very special peculiar point was that the great stones, they were taken out from underneath the side of the temple. And another peculiar point was that each stone was made to fit exactly the place which it was to be located. That's important. And then it was numbered. Numbered and marked with signs which the builders understood. Now we find that this method is still followed by modern builders today. Those which are in the construction business, I'm sure, building of homes and buildings in prefab homes, we find that this is so. I'm sure many of you have had experiences who did a little bit of construction work back home with your wives, and designing a kitchen probably, remodeling. I'm sure there was a lot of confusion, wasn't there? But we find that in Solomon's case, there was no confusion, because every part was put in place quietly and orderly. The stones were made ready before they were brought onto the temple. So therefore, there was neither a hammer, nor an axe, nor any tool of iron was heard in the house while it was being built. All right. In brief, we have described the temple of Solomon, Solomon's temple. Now let's look at the antitype now. The church of the living God. And we find that its builder and maker is God. We find the living stones are taken out of the world, they're separated from the world, and they are chiseled, they're polished, and they're made ready for their positions, and then they are taken to their proper place. And we find for more than 1900 years that this work of preparation has been going on. We find Jesus was the foundation stone. Before he came, there were no stones prepared, and none could be accepted until he had come and died, the just for the unjust. And then we find that the process of cutting and chiseling and polishing the living stones of the temple was explained. And we find that each consecrated Christian has had experiences of such a nature as to separate him from the world. It was a difficult matter to block out character and to bring each of these in place where he would be separated from his surroundings. We realize that. But still more difficult in some respects has been your chiselings and mine, the polishings, blow after blow, experience after experience, as we hear, trial after trial, in order that each living stone would be shaped and fitted and prepared for a place in this antitypical temple. Now here's a lesson for those who are following in the steps of Jesus. They have to develop the fruits of the Spirit. They have to develop meekness, kindness, patience, long-suffering, brotherly love, and love itself as a whole. And if these things be in us, in all abundance, that we shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. And so, it is that we find that an entrance will be ministered unto us abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find for 1900 years ago that this foundation was laid in heaven. The top stone, as Apostle tells us, and we find that all other stones must be fitted up onto him. And in us describing the antitypical temple, we find that Apostle Paul uses the figure of a pyramid. And he describes it as a top stone. And it's a top stone of which is miniature pyramid, as we would say, as we can picture in our minds. And then all remaining stones are being fitted to come into line with it, into perfect line. And the scripture tells us that Jesus is the chief cornerstone, the top stone into which the church as living stones are being built up. Now this will be accomplished, we find, in the first resurrection. And when the church is changed into spirit beings like the Lord, they will be built up and completed with Him on the heavenly plane, far above principalities and powers and every name that is named. Now, to our understanding of the Scriptures, the building of this antitypical temple will be done at the close of this gospel age. Just as the construction of Solomon's temple, we find that in Solomon's temple all materials were first prepared and then the building begun. And so it will be with the antitypical temple. Our great master workman has been getting ready the living stones, preparing you and I, and supervising our preparation under strict rules as to shape, size, quality, and so on. We find that this work has been going on through this gospel age, and not until the full number of the stones shall have been made ready will the construction of that glorious temple begin. And we find that this construction will be the resurrection changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, is what we feel will be. And since we are now living in the close of this gospel age, the stones for the antitypical temple most practically all be finished. Therefore, I feel our thought is that the work of the construction of the temple has already begun. Why? We've heard it in this morning's discourse, didn't we? Of Brother Michael Nakora, of the resurrected sleeping saints. Now, this does not imply, however, that the final polish has been given to all the stones. No. But those long since prepared could be put into place while the last stones were receiving the finishing touches. And the scriptures declare to us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And that we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. And the fact that some are not yet caught up to meet the Lord, but are still in a place of polishing and preparation, indicates that the temple is not yet completed. Now, there is a lesson that I have learned here in studying this temple of God, and the antitypical temple also, and Solomon's temple, I'd like to pass along to you. I feel it is important. It was important to me when I studied it. And the fact is this, that every living stone has been placed in the great antitypical temple. The glorification of the temple will then follow. Why? Because in the type, King Solomon was the type of our Lord Jesus. He offered the sacrifice, and what happened? God accepted it. But God did not accept it sooner. No. After it was complete. And when God accepted his sacrifice, what happened? Then the glory of the Lord filled his temple. That's important. So, what happens in the antitype? In the antitypical temple, the church in glory will not be the temple of God until when? Until the Heavenly Father himself shall have recognized it. Therefore, it is the work of our Lord Jesus, the great master workman, as I like to refer to shape and polish these living stones, to remove them to a glorious condition by the resurrection change, and to build a temple. What happens after that? Then, when all is finished, not a stone lacking, everything is in place, he will await the Father's acceptance. And then what happens? The same thing that happened in the type. The glory of the Lord God will fill the living temple. What happens after that? God will be in that temple. The entire church of Christ will be glorified. The divine power will operate through it. And all nations will begin to draw near to God. But in order to do so, they must draw near to this temple. For the glory of God will be therein displayed, and all nations, both Jew and Gentile, Jew first and then Gentile, will come to the Heavenly Father through this temple. And this is the beauty about the temple of God. Beyond the veil, the church class will receive the Holy Spirit without measure. We're happy for it. We have something to look forward to. When all the living stones will be constituting this temple of God, when they shall be glorified. But on this side of the veil, those who give up their will to the Lord and who are accepted and begotten of the Holy Spirit as new creatures in Christ, receive His Spirit in measure. And so the bodies of these may be said to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wherever God's Spirit is, there is a temple. Elsewhere, Apostle Paul calls the bodies of those begotten of the Holy Spirit tabernacles. And this is something else that's very interesting, and that is the difference between a tabernacle and a temple. And that is that the tabernacle is a temporary structure. And a temple as a permanent structure. That's the beauty about it. So Apostle Paul calls the present condition of the church in which the Holy Spirit dwells merely in our hearts a tabernacle condition. So it is not to last forever. It is only for the present trial time. In that same connection, Apostle Paul goes on to say, what communion had light with darkness? In another instance, he says, what harmony is there between a temple of God and a temple of idols? Between purity that belongs to the temple of God and the impurities of the world, the flesh and the devil? Well, those who have made the recipients of this Holy Spirit of God should be clean. They should be pure, as befitting this temple of God. They should see to it that the sanctifying power of God extends to all their faculties, which operates through you and I. It operates in their minds, in our conversations, in our speech, in our hands and our feet, in words and thoughts and doings. And something very important, we should not let pride take hold of us or get the best of us in any way. Sometimes we may have so much pride that we use pride to cover up some of our mistakes. Or we use pride to, or pride is in us to the extent where we say that it's the doctrines that made us separate from this class or this class. But I think it's the pride that did it. And if we had the right spirit, this would not happen. If we were mature in mind, in heart, this wouldn't happen. Sometimes we may injure another brother by condemning him, or a sister. But did you ever realize that this is a living temple? And if we're condemning someone, you are bringing injury to yourself because you are that living temple also. As a brother brought out in his discourse this morning, there are many grains that are required to make a loaf of bread. And you are that loaf. And if you're causing injury to someone else, you're causing injury to yourself, is what it is. All of our powers are to be engaged in the Lord's work. But it takes a little time. And the important thing of all is that we first have to have the right will in our hearts. And we have learned something about our Heavenly Father's plans and character. His work, His wishes to us, His intention respecting us because of the knowledge we have in the plan of God. And we're able to cope with the situation. And we're blessed by it. We know better how to bring our thoughts into subjection to the will of Christ. Think of that. Bringing your thoughts into subjection to God's will. What does this mean? This is the holiness then that belongs to the temple class. And we do hope and pray, dear ones, that you will be a member of that class. The temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. In a few days, this convention will come to a close. A year ago, there are many of us who had seen some of our brethren, and today they're not with us. We believe they have joined the living temple. They have been put in place. A year from today, next year, some of us will not be here. We too are looking forward to the General Assembly of God. Just as we meet here at the General Convention, we're looking forward to the General Assembly. As I had said, a year from now, we might not be here, one of us. Who it is, we don't know. Let's extend our love to all of them. May the Lord and His blessing.